Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello, beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Bounce. It is good to come in your homes on this beautiful day. Hey, did you set those clocks forward now? They said we're getting an extra hour of sleep. And I can surely use that. So I hope you're doing real well. We're not here to talk about sleeping, but we're here to talk about time and talk about Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that you tuned my way. I hope you're doing well and continue to do it well, and then tomorrow do much better. So let's get right into our broadcast by doing this beautiful song for you right here. And this one said, "There's a miracle on the other side of the mountain."
With little understanding, not a word to speak, Father led his favorite son toward a mountain peak. Each step would bring them near the place where the sacrifice would burn. Just before the lad would die, Father Abraham will learn. There's a miracle on the other side of the mountain. Step by step it climbs to meet you at the highest point of faith, where hope unites with promise, mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today. For no apparent reason, a lamb begins to climb along a rocky mountainside, some greener grass to find. How could he know that he'd become the answer on its way? Isaac would not have to die, he would live to say, there's a miracle on the other side of the mountain. Step by step it climbs to meet you at the highest point of faith, where hope unites with promise, mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today. Walk on a little farther, no matter how you feel, you'll never know what's lying up ahead. Oh, there's a miracle on the other side of the mountain. Step by step it climbs to meet you at the highest point of faith, where hope unites with promise, mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today, where hope unites with promise and mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today.
Yes, only God can work miracles. Only God is the miracle worker. He always gives miracles to those that need it. So you got to decide, do I need a miracle? Well, we hear a lot about miracles today, but do we really need a miracle? I firmly believe that if God said he would supply all my need according to my riches and glory, should I pray for a miracle? Or should I just believe God for a miracle? Well, I think the greatest miracle that God gives us is his love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If that's not a miracle, my friend, I'm all wrong. But listen, you've already received that miracle. If you're a born-again child of God, you have already received that miracle, okay? I'm so glad for you. Glad for Louise and James. I understand they're going to be getting older here before long, and we all pass that away. And James, Louise, we love you. We appreciate you. And Ernie and Betty Joe, we appreciate them, their children, and a lot of people out there. I get to mention your name, might miss somebody. So let's get right back into the next song now, then, if you don't care. And this one says, "That Ragged Old Flag."
I walked through a courthouse, county square, and on an old park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your courthouse kind of looks run down," and he said, "Well, it'll do for our little town." And I said, "The flagpole's, well, it's kind of leaning a bit, and why, that old ragged flag that's hanging upon it." He said, "Have a seat." So I sat down. "Is this the first time you visited our little town?" I said, "Well, yes, it is." "Well," he said, "I just don't like to brag, but we're awful proud of our little town, and especially that ragged old flag. You see, she got a hole in the flag when Washington took it across the Delaware. Then it got powder burns the night Francis Scott King sat watching and writing, 'Oh, say, can you see?' It got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenhammer and Jackson tugging at her seams. Why, she almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on anyhow. She was cut by a sword in Chancellorsville and cut bad again in Shiloh Hill. It was Robert E. Lee, Bogart and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard upon that old ragged flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole blowed in her by a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and she hung blue by the time that it was through. Why, she's been to Korea, Vietnam. She's went wherever she was sent by her Uncle Sam. Many Americans, brown, yellow, and white, all shed their blood for her stars and stripes. In her own good land, why, she's been abused. She's been burnt, dishonored, denied, and refused. And our government for which she stands has been scandalized throughout our land. Why, she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin. But oh, she's in awfully good shape for the shape she's in. You see, she's been through the fire. But I believe that she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning. We take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground. We fold her up just right. Oh, you know, on second thought, I would like to brag, because you see, I'm mighty proud of our little town, and especially that ragged old flag."
Yes, sir, I'm proud of that ragged old flag, too. Election's coming before long. Pray, and then go out and elect. And be careful who you elect, because we got a lot of liberals out there, and I'm not a liberal. I may be a little liberal in some things, but a lot of this stuff is going on today. I just can't agree with it all. But anyhow, you pray and then go vote, okay? And vote for whoever you say you want to, because that's the only real freedom that we have today. So let's go right now and let Martha do this song for us. He said, "Oh, what a day."
There's a great celebration that is being planned today, and there's a feeling of excitement in the air, and the final preparations are all now underway, and the guest of honor soon shall take his place.
Oh, what a day when we gather with the Savior. Oh, what a day when His glory we behold. My heart is thrilled to know that I'll be in the number.
The list of those invited reads like a page from history. The saints of all the ages will be on hand. And the singing of the ransom choir will entertain us there. We'll all rejoice at the merry supper of the Lamb.
Oh, what a day when we gather with the Savior. Oh, what a day when His glory we behold. My heart is thrilled to know that I'll be in the number when the crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, what a day when we gather with the Savior. Oh, what a day when His glory we behold. My heart is thrilled to know that I'll be in the number when the crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When the crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Well, I hope you've made plans to go. I hope you purchased a ticket. And that ticket has to be stamped with the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be in that number. I'm going to be there with my mom, my dad, and all of you who have already run this race. Martha, she done run her race. We'll be together again, and I'm hoping that you and your loved ones will also meet there on the other side. Well, I had a quartet one time, and somebody said they want to hear that song, "I'll Meet You in the Rapture." And they said, "Well, you know, we was in a church the other day, and they wouldn't allow us to sing that song. Do y'all believe in the rapture?" I said, "Yes, sir. Go ahead and sing the song." So I'm going to preach to you, and this one says, "I have a problem."
And I'm going to title this morning, "I have a real problem." I have a real problem. You have a real problem. But then again, I think that knowing that problem is a beginning of the cure. You know, sometimes the Bible said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And I want to take the Scripture this morning not to prove anything. I don't think the Scripture should be used to prove anything. But there is a proven fact that when we have a real problem, that we can go to the Bible to find the cure. I walked in the study the other day, and I'm a kind of a fellow. I may be a little strange to some of you, but I really seek for the mind of God. I seek for the mind and the will, the plan and the purpose of God. I really do. Oh, I laugh a lot. I joke a lot. I make some people mad. I make some people happy. I'm one of those kind of fellows that can, I guess, a whole lot of people combined in one person. But then again, I talk to myself a lot and I talk to God a lot. And I walked through the study the other day and God just kind of revealed something to me that I think that we ought to look at. And I want us to think this morning, where is my problem? And according to the Bible, we all have a problem. But then I go to the Bible over in Romans, the 7th chapter, and let me read what Paul said in chapter 7 and verse 14. Now listen to what Paul said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, I'm sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Now I'm not going to read the rest of it for you. You may want to read it your own self. But Paul comes down to the 23rd verse, but he said, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I have a real problem. The Apostle Paul had a real problem. And the Apostle Paul said his problem was his self. Now notice here, I want to bring out some things that maybe you've never looked at before. The Apostle Paul said in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual." We know the law is spiritual. This is a spiritual book and a spiritual God. But then the Apostle Paul goes on to say, "But I am sold as a slave to sin." We are our own worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. You remember that Jesus gave a commandment. And a lot of times we don't look at it as a commandment. Jesus gave a commandment to the disciples. And he told them, he said, if you're going to follow me, there's two things you're going to have to do. He said, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now people, there's something in self-denial. There's something in denying ourselves. Who makes me a slave to sin? You know, a lot of people don't realize it. But our own self has made us a slave to sin. How many people have made the statement, well, I can quit anytime I want to? You can never quit the sin business without God. Now, you may slow down a little bit and you may kind of change the pattern or change the way a little bit, but there's something within you that's that old carnal, damned nature. And that'll never be changed. You're in sin. I don't care how heavenly you get, how holy you get, you're still wrapped in a body of sin. And Paul is saying, I'm out of control. I cannot control my own personal being. Because you see, self has its own selfish motivation. Self is a motivator of the mind. Self is a motivator of the eyes. Why did Jesus say to look upon it has already committed sin? Because there's that old sinful nature that's always in man. You see, you never get so heavenly that you're not earthly. You're always wrapped in a body of sin. Why do I commit the things I do? Because of sin. I have become a slave to sin. I have heard people say, and I use the same term my own self, I can quit drinking any time I want to. I could no more quit drinking any time I wanted to. A lot of people say, I can quit smoking any time I want to. Well, now, I'm not preaching on cigarettes. But I've done the same thing. I said to myself, self, you can quit any time you want to. But I couldn't. Why? Because I was hooked. I was a slave to alcohol, and I was a slave to tobacco. And don't you ever think you cannot be a slave to alcohol and a slave to tobacco. We watched a movie last night. Martha and I were watching this movie. And this boy had a lot of problems, Dungeons and Dragons, and mentally, and on acid, and on drugs. And a lot of people will say, well, I can quit anytime I want to. But it's not so. Because you see, there's that old selfish, sinful desire. And don't you ever think because you're a Christian that you don't have that sinful desire in your body. I don't care how good you get, you're still sold under sin. Self has made you a slave. Self is a slave that when it develops in a man's life, it causes him to do things that he would not do. He's carnal. We are fleshly, we are spiritually, and the carnal side of man, even though he's spiritual, is still out of control. And a lot of things I do is because old self is in control. Now let's go this morning to Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter. I want to show you something maybe you've never seen before. In Luke 17 and 5, the disciples asked a question. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Now you've got to listen very carefully if you're going to hear what the Bible is having to say about this. And the Lord said, now notice what he said, if ye had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye may say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Okay, this topic changes completely in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing and feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doeth he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him? Servant commandment, there it is. I trod not. Here is the answer. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, again we find the word commanded, you say we are unprofitable servants, the word servant again, we have done that which was our duty to do. Why does God want us to have faith? Why does God want us to have faith? Why do we need faith? Because faith allows us to do what God wants us to do. You see, there's that old self-motivation. Self does not want us to be in the will and the plan and the purpose and the control of God. You see, self says, I can do it. Self has always got that great big eye. I can do this. I can do that. That is selfish motivation. I don't care how good of a Christian you are, that old carnal spirit says, I can do it. But then Paul said, I can only do it through Christ Jesus. You see, there's that selfish motivation. Oh, wouldn't we like to walk on water? Wouldn't we like to cast out devils? Wouldn't we like to lay hands upon the sick? Wouldn't we like to do all the mighty works of God? Is that why God gives me faith? Those things are automatic. God is the healer. God is the deliverer. God works in a supernatural fashion. But it's me that's got to guard against my spiritual person with God. Because there's that self-exaltation. There's that self-desire. I want to become number one. I want to be the big I and you the little you. There's that old self-motivation. But we do not have faith always to work miracles for God. It's faith that we have that we may be submissive to the will and the purpose and the plan of God. But you see, there's that old self-exaltation. Paul said, and I wish I had an hour or two to preach to you. I don't like these 20-minute sermons, to be honest with you. It just takes too long to really get into a real sermon. But the Apostle Paul, he has battled with the same thing. The things I would do, I can't do. The things I like to do, I am always being under some other control. Paul mentioned many times, he said, at one time, he said, I had a vision 14 years ago. I had a vision of heaven. I went to that holy city. I saw whether I was dead in the body of it, I don't know. But there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And he said, the thorn in the flesh, lest I be exalted above. You see, there is always that exaltation spirit. You know, it's sad that we have to have a television. We've got to have a mic. Loud singing, great crowds to do the supernatural miracles of God. God does not give us faith to work miracles. God is the miracle worker. Our faith is to produce the purpose and the plan of God.
I certainly do hate to break into that message, but let's get into another song and I'll close the broadcast.
I have heard of a land, a life beyond this life we know, whose beauty and splendor and its walls and its streets are pure gold. Though my eyes cannot see and my hands cannot touch it and feel, I plan to go there, for I know heaven is real. Yes, heaven is real. It's as real as the air we breathe. Heaven is real, the Bible says, and I believe. There's a place that's prepared for the pure and the free, and how my heart thrills just to know heaven is real. Some say I can't go, and its streets and the city is not gold, and that my glorious mansion by is only a humble abode. Oh, I still want to go, for that's where my soul longs to be. For my Savior is there, and that makes it heaven for me. Yes, heaven is real. It's as real as the air I breathe. Heaven is real. Oh, the Bible says, and I believe, there's a place that's prepared for the pure and the free. And how my heart thrills just to know heaven is real. And oh, how my heart wishes to know heaven.
Yes, sir, heaven is real, hell is real. You can make your heaven your home, or you can make hell your home. It's your choice. God gave you the great gift of choice, and you can make a choice, and I'm going to pray for you right now. I hope that that message touched your heart. I enjoy preaching that kind of messages. I wished I could really read like I used to, but I can't. You pray for my eyes. Father, we bring our unseen audience to you, because God, I cannot do anything but preach the gospel. But I thank you for the message you give me. I thank you for the friends you gave me who have stood with me faithful down through the years on this radio ministry. We're going to continue right on. As long as they help to support it, we will continue right on. I pray for the unsaved. I pray for that one that's known you, God, and turned back into the world, Lord, and the cares of this world has choked them out. So we pray for them. I pray for my sick people. I pray for everyone who supports this broadcast. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I was sitting in a little country church one Sunday night, listening to an old-time preacher. He was telling of God's saving grace, of his power, and of all of his might. Well, seated next to me was a dear old gentleman. His face was wrinkled, his hands were calloused, and his hair had already turned gray. As the preacher told of the home beyond the sky, the old gentleman bowed down his head. Tears came to his eyes, and when the invitation was given for those who had gone astray, he freely took me by the hand, and this I heard him softly say: "Well, I am old, blind, and feeble. I cannot find my way."
I see my time's run out. I'm praying for you. I hope you continue to pray for me. Support this broadcast if possible, okay? Goodbye, be good. May God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
My heart with sin is stained. Lead me to
you. Can write to me, Box 2642, Madden's Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642 Madden's Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.
His tender voice I hear, I feel his presence near. Lead me to the altar, lead me.
WJLS-FM, Beckley, Princeton, Lewisburg.